This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
More friends to mention, and I played my guitar too loud. How do you like me now?
Parks Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's now Sam and Greg on this 21st day of April. You hear that music? It's time for Adam Alexander. FS1's Adam Alexander. How you doing, buddy?
Morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are doing fine.
Although we're looking out the window and seeing a bunch of rain, we look concerned.
Well, I was doing fine until you said that.
Well, yeah, man. With 9 floors up, you can't miss the rain.
Yeah, but that's us here in Atlanta. That ain't around the corner, you know, in the other time zone there. Which, by the way, was our first question to you, Mr. Alexander. Are you east of us or north? Or excuse me, are you west of us or are you northeast of us?
I'm northeast. Came back last night.
Last night. Oh, you got to wait before the rain starts.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I did.
That's not your average person, you know.
He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening.
He knows. Was it Letterman? You say he's not your average idiot you're dealing with here. Anyway, he is not that, but he is also.
Hey, Greg.
What?
I'm an above average idiot.
Stop it. That's me. That's what I call myself.
Adam, he's back with me. You know, last Sunday we were
last week. Here y'all go.
You know, he big timed us, man. He had to hang out with Tyler Perry, you know.
Did you tell him what I said, Greg? I told Sam, I said, Greg calls apologizing, saying, hey, I can't be there. Can you call in to Sam? And I said, this enhances the chances that I will call in to Sam. So.
That's all right. I can take it. That's all right. I was actually, again, that scene actually didn't happen the way it was supposed to, and we had to reshoot it on Friday. So I was out again this Friday night. But I came in yesterday. I came in on fumes, but we got it done. Adam, we have been talking about this weekend's race and this race period. This is one of those bucket list locations for people, whether you're a hardcore NASCAR fan or not. What it's like to be there on race day at 10, people who have not experienced that.
It's funny because I was with some people this weekend who have never been to Talladega. They've done a lot of sports work and been to great venues and a part of some of the greatest sporting events, but they've never been to Talladega. And to watch their reaction and to talk about what they're experiencing is so special, because when you've done it as long as I have been there so many times, I mean, never, you know, you ever lose the luster, but you do take it for granted. And to see someone who's a first, it really brings back all the thoughts and emotions and the feelings that you have the first time you went there. And I just remember my first trip to Talladega, I was in awe. And it checks every box. It really does. If you want a slice of NASCAR, and I said this on the air the other day, it's a slice of NASCAR heaven. It really delivers so many key components to what NASCAR truly is. And I love going there. It's always been one of my favorite tracks, and it really never disappoints.
Yep. Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Adam Alexander this morning, talking Talladega. Adam, talk about the thing they did to enhance the fan experience. I was there a couple of years ago, my first time getting a look at that thing. And it's pretty impressive what they've done there, right?
Well, and what they've done, Sam, is they understand that while you can rest on the history and tradition, you also have to, you know, make some upgrades to, you know, give fans what they need when you get new fans there so that you can start to come into the modern age. And they've done that. The garages that they put in and the access the fans now have to, you know, see the cars and, you know, get an autograph and some of that stuff is really cool. We saw it at Daytona as well. Of course, Daytona and Talladega are owned by the same people, and so they did. They restructured the garages and made it more accessible for the fans while still allowing the teams to have their space to work. So they've done a tremendous job of maintaining the old but also looking to the new, and that's what you have to do in the sports world, and I really appreciated that.
Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, the streak has ended, 42 weeks. It is done. They rang the sirens up in Dawsonville.
That's a siren.
Oh, excuse me. The sirens up in Dawsonville.
At the pool room.
Man, I was in a nice flow there going.
Go ahead.
Anyway, Chase Elliott gets the win last week. Why so long? What happened? What was going on last week that it took all this time, do you suspect?
They've been knocking on the door, really, when you look at it. The last couple of weeks, you sense that maybe they were getting closer. And quite honestly, I thought it could have been today that they ended the streak just because he's won at Talladega. And there seemed to be some synergy with an Elliott winning at Talladega and all the history that would come with snapping the winless streak. And that's where his last win was prior to last week at Texas in October of 2022. But if you go back to a little over a year ago, he has the accident, the snowboarding accident. So he's injured and he misses the races. And he comes back and he wanted to get back as quick as he could because, you know, he wanted to maintain an opportunity to make the playoffs. And he was pacing like maybe he could point in even if he didn't win a race. Then he had the run-in with Denny Hamlin at Charlotte. He gets suspended. He loses another race. And it became pretty obvious throughout the summer. There's no way unless he wins he's going to get in. And then once we got into the fall, they hadn't won. They're not a part of the playoffs. And I felt like, not that you didn't want to see him win at Hendrick Motorsports, but they had two drivers that are running for the championship. And so the focus goes to Kyle Larson and William Byron. And you know what? This season was always going to be the reset for him. And they reset at the beginning of the year. They weren't great. They were okay. They weren't great, but they were getting better and better and building momentum and back-to-back top five finishes. And then, boom, last weekend he put himself in the right place and he goes out and wins.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Adam Alexander. He is social. You can always find him at Adam, numeral one, Alexander. Adam, number one, Alexander. All right. Fords, the Mustangs, are up front for the race today. Thoughts about them? And while Michael McDowell has the pole, I'm watching the guy who's going to start beside him on row one. I talked with Austin Cindric this week. He's licking his chops. He can't wait to get there. And just talk about that racing, the Penske racing team, those three guys, and what they usually do when they come to this track.
You look at their history, and they're good here. You know, I mean, Austin Cindric is tremendous in the draft, won the Daytona 500 in his rookie season, and as you said, he's starting up front. Ryan Blaney won the last time we were here last fall, which was a big part of him winning the championship. And Joey Logano, one of the best in the draft, also qualified in the top 10 yesterday. Ryan Blaney was in the booth yesterday with us doing the Xfinity race, and his knowledge of the draft and just understanding what needs to happen is so good. So, and this is a big opportunity race for the Fords because Ford is winless this year. They need to take advantage today, but it's a little bit of a broken record. If you look at qualifying, Daytona and Atlanta, these drafting tracks, Ford is great, but they haven't been able to finish the deal on track, and it's getting concerning. And when you look at the standings and where they fit into the equation, it's not a good situation. And if you get more winners, and we could get a wild card winner today, that puts even more pressure on them as an organization and manufacturer. So today might be the day that they can turn a corner. And when you look at their lineup, Chris Buescher, you know, is a guy that can get it done. Brad Keselowski has got 6 wins here. That's tied for second on the all-time wins list, only behind Dale Earnhardt. So the Ford family is strong. And I would anticipate they'll be contenders today, but they have to finish the deal and take advantage because they have had some missed opportunities and they have not won this year, and you have got to go out and get it done at a place like Talladega where you know you're strong.
Do you know how many? I'm sure you do, but when you mentioned Earnhardt, how many wins does he have there?
Earnhardt's got 10, and then second on the all-time list, there's a tie, a three-way tie. Dale Jr.'s got 6, Jeff Gordon has 6, and I mentioned Brad Keselowski has 6. So if Brad wins today, He would have seven and be the only guy. He would stand alone behind Earnhardt on the all-time wins list. So it would be remarkable if Brad could win today and put himself in that position. And, you know, it would be historic too, right? Because he hasn't won. We talked about the winless streak for Chase Elliott. It's been over 100 races for Brad. And if I'm not mistaken, his last win came at Talladega. And he hasn't won since he took over the driver-owner role at RFK Racing, driving the six car. So there's a whole lot to me that points toward Brad Keselowski being the guy today, just from a storyline perspective.
Adam, you deviated me from where I wanted to get to, and I'll come back to it. But this whole thing with Earnhardt having the most there, do you know, is there a person who has the most, who has the record for the most wins at a particular track, you know, for either Daytona or Talladega? Is 10 wins at that one particular track the gold standard, or is there somebody else like, you know, Richard Petty who has X amount of double-digit wins at a particular track?
I think it's Richard Petty with 15 at Richmond. I'm not 100% sure on who has the most wins at a particular track, but I would say it's Richard Petty at Richmond with 15. I want to say at one point he won like seven races in a row there, or something crazy. And Darrell Waltrip, I think Darrell has 12 at Bristol, and he won five or six, maybe seven in a row. So
wow.
And the only reason I know that, I think it was seven because we were doing the truck race at Bristol, and Mike, we were talking about Darrell having great success at Bristol, and Michael Waltrip said he won six in a row here. And I said, actually, it was seven. He said, well, he won six in a row too now. And I'm like, well, I guess at one point he did win six in a row before he won seven. Anyway, so we had a good laugh out of that. But yeah, I think it's – I would say, if I had to guess, 15 for Richard Petty at Richmond, but that might be inaccurate.
Yep. You know, you just mentioned Dale Earnhardt. And when I look at qualifying yesterday, and I had asked you about these guys several weeks ago, Adam, we were wondering what was going on with them. The Childress cars qualified fourth and fifth. What a history Childress has with Talladega.
You're right, Sam. And, you know, those two cars have struggled this year. I mean, Austin Dillon in particular, he's already gone through a crew chief change. You know, not even 10 races into the year, they made that change. And both those cars were top 10 at Texas. And, you know, they took advantage of some misfortune by some other people, but they needed that shot in the arm, and they got it. Now, Kyle has been okay at times. Austin has really struggled. But they both qualified up front, as you said. They were both right there last spring. And, of course, Kyle was able to win this race last year in the springtime at Talladega. So, you know, that's another team. We talked about the Fords and what they need to do. Chevy's had a pretty good year. I mean, you look at Hendrick Motorsports, and, you know, the guys at Trackhouse have done a good job. But it's been a struggle at Richard Childress Racing. And so they're an organization that also could use a nice run today and back up what they did at Texas. And a win would be good, too, which would lock them into the playoffs.
I saw this from Ryan McGee. He's one of the writers at ESPN. And it made me think about Scottie Scheffler on the PGA Tour, number one player in the world, but doesn't have that it factor. But yet his play is beyond reproach. And he is just getting it done, just got another green jacket. So I saw this sentence, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it because I see he's the top of the standings, and is this accurate? And he writes, is it time that we all start doing a better job of appreciating William Byron? And goes on to talk about him being with Hendrick Sports, but this guy is affable. He's 26 years old, North Carolinian, and blah, blah, blah. Just runs it down, and you can talk about his performance this year, but is the NASCAR world not tipping its cap enough for this guy and acknowledging what kind of driver he is? Or is that an unfair statement, would you say?
I would say it's very fair because when you look at what he's done on a consistent basis, you know, it took him a little bit of time to really get it going. The expectations were high when he came up through the ranks and got that cup ride and was driving, you know, the 24 that was made so famous by Jeff Gordon. And now he's doing Jeff Gordon type things. I mean, he won six races last year. He put himself in the championship four. And here's the other thing that is remarkable about William Byron. He's not just winning races, but he's winning those nostalgia races. He got Hendrick Motorsports their 300th win last fall. He won the Daytona 500, first time they'd won that race in 10 years. It was William Byron who breaks through. He won at Martinsville on the 40th anniversary weekend of their first win a couple of weeks ago. And so when you look across the board at what William Byron has done, it's not just the wins, it's the magnitude of the wins. And already three victories this season. And, you know, there were a lot of questions coming into this year. You won six last year, you going over under that. And many said under. It's so hard to win these races these days. But here we are 10 races in, and he's won 30% of them. So, yeah, I think he is underappreciated. Some of that's his personality. He's a low-key guy. But I do think a lot like Scotty Scheffler, you have to appreciate the humility and the way they go about their business. And I know that's not the world we live in, but it's something that should be celebrated. And he's a tremendous race car driver, an unbelievable talent. And as crazy as it is, when you look at his success here in the last year and a half, I would say we're just scratching the surface of what William Byron is capable of.
Wow. Wow. We watch to see when they want to make sure and watch him today. But how about Kyle Larson? I'm seeing he's way back here. Does it matter, though, at a track like this? And what do you talk about the luck that he's had lately?
Well, it matters more now than it used to. You know, Sam, I think when you and I first met, we were at Talladega.
Yeah.
I remember being there, and you and I first met there. And that weekend, you and I would have talked and said, you don't even have to qualify. No one cares where you start. Doesn't matter at all. That game has changed now a little bit because of the way the strategy is. There'll be a lot of fuel saving today, and so guys won't be full throttle. And because of that, and the way fuel mileage plays into this and the pit strategy, if you're in the back, it makes your ride exponentially more difficult to get to the front. I mean, you just cannot drive through the field like you used to. There's none of that hanging back to avoid the big one. Now, having said that, you know, we still can have big crashes today, and the attrition rate can be high. And so you can overcome a bad starting position when things like that happen. And there will be cycles. I would be shocked if at some point Kyle Larson is not at the front today. But there is more anxiety starting back there now than there used to be, just because of the way these races are run and how these drivers approach the day and the teams in their approach to fuel strategy and all of that. You have to work a lot harder to get from the back to the front. There's no question.
Set to start at 3 o'clock. What do you guys have coming up on Fox today?
Yeah, we will get going 1:30 Eastern time on FS1 over to Fox at 2. And, it's going to be all the stuff that you anticipate. I was talking to some of our guys, our producers, last night, and they do such a tremendous job of painting the picture that is Talladega. So if you've never been, add it to your list. But also if you've never been, watch today, because you will learn a lot about what Talladega Super Speedway is all about.
There you go. Hey, enjoy the rest of your day. Now he's home. He can put his feet up, get the menu right, and enjoy the race.
Adam, thanks so much.
Go ahead, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys. Thank you.
As always, Adam Alexander, FS1. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, buddy, and always thank you for getting up and joining us.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.